Sarvanas, 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 Oh glory to the Son of devotees. Oh glory to the Son of devotees. Oh glory to the Son of devotees. Oh glory to Sri Sri Guru Brahma. Oh glory to Sri Prabhupada. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 4, chapter 29, text 84. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Etan Mukunda Yasasa. Etan Mukunda Yasasa Bhavanana Bhavanam Punanam.
Etan Mukunda Yasasa Bhuvanam 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 Punanam.
Devar Shivarya Mukani Shitam Atma Socham.
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 Ya Kirtyamanam Adigachati Param Parameshtyam. Yakirtyamanam adigacchati parameshyam.
Yakirtyamanam adigacchati parameshyam.
Yakirtyamanam adigacchati parameshyam.
Yakirtyamanam adigacchati parameshyam.
Nasham bhave pramati mukta samasta bandha.
Nasmin bhave pramati mukta samasta bandha.
Nasmin bhave pramati mukta samasta bandha.
Nasmin bhave pramati mukta samasta bandha.
Etan mukunda yasasa bhuvanam punanam.
Etan mukunda yasasa bhuvanam punanam.
Devar Shivarya Mukani Shritam Atma Socham.
Devar Shivarya Mukani Shritam Atma Socham.
Yakirtyamanam Adigacchati Parameshyam.
Yakirtyamanam Adigacchati Parameshyam.
Nasmin Bhave Pramati Mukta Samasta Vanda.
Nasmin Bhave Pramati Mukta Samasta Vanda.
Etan Mukunda Yasasa Bhuvanam Punanam.
Etan Mukunda Yasasa Bhuvanam Punanam.
Devar Shivarya Mukani Shritam Atma Socham.
Devar Shivarya Mukani Shritam Atma Socham.
Yakirtyamanam Adigacchati Parameshyam.
Yakirtyamanam Adigacchati Parameshyam.
Nasmin Bhave Pramati Mukta Samasta Vanda.
Nasmin Bhave Pramati Mukta Samasta Vanda.
Etan Mukunda Yasasa Bhuvanam Punanam.
Etan Mukunda Yasasa Bhuvanam Punanam.
Devar Shivarya Mukhanishtitam Atma Saucham.
Devar Shivarya Mukhanishtitam Atma Saucham.
Yakritamanam Adigacchati Parameshtam.
Yakritamanam
gacchati paramekshyam
asmin bhave bhramati mukta samasta bandha
asmin bhave bhramati mukta samasta bandha
Etan mukunda
yashasa bhuvana punanam Devarshivarya mukhanishritam atma saucham
Yakirtyamanam
adigacchati paramesyam
Nasmin bhave brahmati mukta samasta bandha
Nasmin bhave brahmati mukta samasta bandha
Translation This narration spoken by the great sage Narada is full of the transcendental fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, this narration, when described, certainly sanctifies this material world. It purifies the heart of the living entity and helps him attain his spiritual identity. One who relates this transcendental narration will be liberated from all material bondage and will no longer have to wander within this material world. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As indicated in verse 79, Narada Muni advised King Prichinabharti to take to devotional service rather than waste time performing ritualistic ceremonies and fruitive activities. The vivid descriptions of the subtle and gross bodies in this chapter are most scientific. And because they are given by the great sage Narada, they are authoritative. Because these narrations are full of the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they constitute the most effective process for the purification of the mind. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has confirmed, Chaito Darpana Marjanam. The more we talk of Krishna, think of Krishna, and preach for Krishna, the more we become purified. This means we no longer have to accept a hallucinatory, gross and subtle body, but instead attain our spiritual identity. One who tries to understand this instructive spiritual life is delivered from the ocean of nescience. The word Parameshyam is very significant in this connection. Parameshyam is also called Brahmaloka. It is the planet on which Lord Brahma lives. The inhabitants of Brahmaloka always discuss such narrations, so that after the annihilation of the material world, they can be directly transferred to the spiritual world. One who is transferred to the spiritual world does not have to go up and down within this material world. Sometimes spiritual activities are called parameshyam. Om gyan smrandasya gyanandana shalakaya chakshurun lalitam jaina tasmai shri guruve mukam kuroti vatam pungum nangayate yatrapatamam vande shri guru dinatarum shri chaitanya manovishtam Sāpitam yena bhutale svayarūpa Tvayasmi, Tvayasmi, Najivami, Tvayavina, Iti vidyaya devi tvam nayamam charanam tam vanchakalpatarubhyascha prapasindubhyevacha vatihanam bhavebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. So this is a beautiful verse for the Vaishnavas. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Etan Mukunda Yasasa Bhuvanam Bhunanam. So Mukunda means who or what?
Gives liberation.
One who gives liberation. So that is Sri Krishna. Different devas, they can give material blessings, material prosperity, but they cannot give, they cannot liberate one from the cycle of birth and death. So when we worship different devas, Vayu and Agni and Surya and Durga, Brahmaji and so on, when we worship them as devas, then the benefit we can get from that is material prosperity, which is very attractive for materialistic people. You worship Surya Dev, you become very effulgent and very powerful. You worship Durga, you also get great material opulence. Man worships Durga, he can get a nice wife. Like this, there are so many different devas they worshipped for different material attainments. But what these devas cannot give is freedom from the cycle of birth and death. That they cannot give. They can give material blessings that will continue your cycle of birth and death, but they cannot give you the blessing that will free you from this cycle. Other than Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva can also give the blessing of liberation from the cycle of birth and death. But then his blessing is up to the point of Brahma Sayujya, merging with Brahman. So that is the mukti that is sought after by the impersonalists. The Buddhists, they are also seeking a similar type of nirvana, liberation from material existence. The Buddhist seeks to become non-existent through their practices, which is in fact impossible. But the impersonalist seeks to merge with Brahman. So that blessing Lord Shiva can give. Indra, Vayu, Agni, they will not give that blessing. Shiva can give that blessing. But the blessing of prema, of pure love, that blessing is given by Sri Krishna. And that is the highest liberation. Material blessings, they pale in comparison. And from the Vaishnava perspective, so does the blessing of merging with Brahman, Brahma Sayujya. There are different aspects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the teaching of Bhagavat, Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedanti tattva vidas, jnanam, yaj jnanam avyayam, brahmi iti, paramatmeti, bhagavan iti, sadhyate. Brahmeti refers to the impersonal Brahman, the all-pervasive energy of Godhead. Paramatmeti refers to the localized aspect of the divine within the heart of every living being, within every atom, between every atom. Paramatma's role is to maintain things, to maintain this world, to maintain this universe. So as the Paramatma, then he is witnessing and sanctioning the activities and the desires of the living entities. Bhagavan. Bhagavan means to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is endowed with personal characteristics and opulences. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti, Sabyate. These three, you understand them together, that is complete understanding. If we understand Godhead as only an energy, that is incomplete. If we understand the Godhead as only a person, that is also incomplete. Or merely a person, shall we say. That is incomplete. We must understand as these three together. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan, iti sabyate. Paramatma has more characteristics and attributes than Brahman. Brahman is nirguna, without quality, and nirupa, without form. You can read many Upanishadic texts which describe Brahman in this way, as nirguna, nirupa, without form, without qualities, without characteristics. Paramatma manifests more qualities. Paramatma manifests form. The yogi enters into samadhi and is able to perceive Paramatma within the heart as a personality with form. That is not a material form like ours. That is a satchit ananda vigraha. Paramatma has form, Paramatma has qualities. Paramatma is very beautiful, strong, the strongest, the most intelligent. But he's not displaying these. Then when we see Bhagavan is fully exhibiting these qualities and characteristics. As Narayana, his power is unmatched, his beauty is unmatched, his strength, his fame is unparalleled. And not just qualities, not just guna, but also, not just rupa, but also guna. Not just guna, but also lila. Paramatma is not manifesting lila as such. Different pastimes, different associations, different relationships. The relationship with Paramatma is Narayana, then there's but that those qualities, that form, those activities, they become even more sweet in the personality of Krishna. Krishna's lila is so much more sweet. Krishna's form is so much more sweet. Krishna's pastimes are so much more sweet. So Narayana is Bhagavan. There is more of the Godhead exhibited as Bhagavan than as Brahman or Paramatma. Within that manifestation of Bhagavan, then Krishna's form, qualities and pastimes are even more sweet. With Narayana, then the dominant bhavana, the dominant mood is Aishwarya. Aishwarya means awe and reverence, majestic power, like a king sitting on the throne, the ruler. No one can come too close to the ruler. No one can speak to the ruler in a casual way. There is always reverence and deference, titles and a curtsy, a bow. That is the protocol, that is the etiquette in dealing with the ruler, with the king. So in the service of Narayana, then there is much protocol and etiquette. But with Sri Krishna, then that protocol and etiquette, it is cast aside. Because Krishna's name, form, qualities and pastimes, they are characterized by the bhavana of madhurya. Madhurya means sweetness. So with Narayana we have Aishwarya Bhav, with Sri Krishna we have Madhurya Bhav. Therefore, Shastra says that the human being can manifest up to 50 qualities. Brahmaji manifests 54. Lord Shiva manifests 60. More than any human, more than Brahma. Sorry, I've done this wrong. Brahmaji manifests 50. Shiva 54. And then Narayana 60. 60 qualities. But then there are 4 additional qualities of sweetness that only Sri Krishna manifests. That even Narayana himself does not manifest. Who would like to suggest one of these qualities?
Vatsalya.
Vatsalya? Well, that would relate to the category of Lila Madhurya. Means that Sri Krishna has these very sweet pastimes like this Vatsalya Bhav. Vatsalya relationships, parental relationships, that Madhya Sodas ties him up with a rope. You will not see this with Narayan's pastimes, that he's being tied up by one of his associates. So, Lila Madhurya is one of these qualities then?
Renunciation?
That is something else. Renunciation is one of the characteristics of Bhagavan. There are six characteristics, yeah? Sadaishwarya, 6 opulences of Bhagavan, yeah? Okay, good. Yeah?
Is it the three band, or, I mean, like the Tribhanga Rupa and
Rupa?
So, Rupa Madhurya. Krishna has a particularly beautiful threefold bending form. He takes a threefold bending pose. But his form is most sweet. Even when the gopis were searching for Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan, Krishna decided to play a prank, to play a joke. So he stood before them as And you would expect a lot more from them, right? You'd like totally shocked and astonished, right? After Devadana said, Narayan, where is Krishna? Have you seen him? Can you tell us where he is? He pointed them in some direction and they continued on their way. You know, when Sri Radha came before him, he was not able to maintain his disguise any longer. He was not able to maintain his posture, his form as Narayana, and he kept slipping back to his Tribhanga Sundara, Tribhanga Rupa, as Krishna. This is also very instructive to us, that Krishna will appear to you according to your bhavana. According to your mood of service, Krishna will reciprocate. In the Bhagavad Gita he says, as they approach me, I reciprocate accordingly. What is the verse? Yayatamam prapadyante tamstateva vajamyaham mamavartmanugartante. He says that everyone is approaching me in some different way, and I reciprocate with them according to how they approach me. Some people take this to mean that whatever you do, somehow you will get to Krishna. In a very indirect way, that may be true, because everything comes from Krishna and belongs to Krishna. But it is a very indirect approach, because whatever you do, you're dealing with Krishna's energy. So if you're stealing or robbing or whatever you're doing, you're connecting to Krishna. But that philosophy of jatama tatapat, whatever your philosophy or whatever your path, you will come to Krishna, that all roads lead to the one goal, is supported by this verse. Well, they use this verse to support that idea. But that's not what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying, according to how you approach me, I will reciprocate. So you approach me for material prosperity, I will give you material prosperity. You're not getting prema bhakti, which is the highest goal. You're getting material prosperity, which is a counterfeit. In fact, you approach the Lord for liberation, you will get liberation. So however you approach the Lord, he will reciprocate. If you approach with material desires, if you approach with a desire for liberation, if you approach with a desire for bhakti, the Lord will reciprocate with that intention within your heart. So all of the roads are not leading to the same goal. It is the one Supreme Lord who is supplying the desires of all living entities. Now here, Sri Radha, what is the desire, what is the prema she carries in her heart? She carries the highest love, Mahabhava, the highest prema for Sri Krishna. That's what she carries in her heart. And so when she stands before the Lord, even though he is posing as Narayana, he is drawn to reciprocate with her according to her bhava. How much love Sri Krishna has. Because she is standing before him with that prema for Sri Krishna in her heart. And that prema is so strong. Then he cannot maintain anymore this chaturbhuja, this four-armed form. And now, I don't want to get completely sidetracked. Therefore, our acharyas, they serve the Lord under the direction of Sri Radha. We worship not just Krishna, we worship not just Bal Krishna. We worship Radha Krishna. We worship Krishna who's standing by Radha. So, who is that Krishna that will stand by Radha? That is Krishna who is reciprocating with the highest love. Yeah? Not just any Krishna. It is that Krishna who reciprocates with the highest mahabhav, with the highest prem. That is the Krishna who's standing there with Radha. So that is the most beautiful, the most wonderful, the most glorious Krishna. Krishna has so many expansions and manifestations. And they are all glorious. But there is vishesh, there is difference. Vivek, you can discriminate with finer understanding. You can apply finer understanding that yes, Krishna is Krishna, but he is manifesting himself differently according to the bhavas, according to the moods of his devotees. So he's standing before Prahlad as Narasimhadev, the great protector, and he's feeling so much of vatsalya affection for Prahlad. He's standing before Vibhishana and Sugriva as a great protector as well, as a great king, as the establisher of dharma, maryada, of justice. And with Sri Ram, everything is to the letter of the law. And he will even tolerate his own inconvenience in order that the law should be upheld. Even he will, Sita will have to justify herself in the face of the law. Declare her purity by a test of fire. So that is the mood of Sri Ram standing before those devotees. Before Mother Yasoda, he's a little boy. He's a playful boy. Even when he's older, he's still her little boy. And that's how he behaves. That's how he is. He needs to be fed. He needs to be dressed. He's got something. His hair is not properly in place. A little boy is never perfect. He always needs to be mothered and corrected, reprimanded. Where are your manners? Educated, refined. And that's how he is before her. That's what she brings out of him. Before yogis like Dhruva Maharaj, before Kumaras, he's Chaturbhuja Narayan, actually manifest Paramatma for Dhruva, Lord of Vaikuntha for the four Kumaras. So the Lord is manifesting himself differently according to the mood of the devotees. With Sri Radha, who is the best of devotees? The best of devotees is Srimati Radharani. Nobody's love and affection for Krishna is more pleasing than that of Sri Radha's. Krishna is described as Madana Mohana, the bewilderer of Cupid. she is described as Marana Mohana Mohini, the bewilderer of the bewilderer of Cupid. And so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our line of acharyas, they worship Radha Krishna. They serve the Lord under her direction. And so who are they seen? When you stand behind Radha, when you stand behind Rupa, when you stand behind our acharyas to see the Lord, then you get to see Krishna as no one else gets to see him. You get to have that darshan of Sri Krishna. That is most rare, that is most precious, that is most coveted. And so never think that being a servant, being the servant of the servant, dasa dasani das, is limiting. No. By serving your Gurudev, you are serving in that line. By serving your Gurudev, who's connected to that, you are serving in that line. You are standing behind them. And standing behind them, you have the most privileged darshan. You get to facilitate in the most that seva that is most pleasing to Krishna. That is our process. So we were describing four qualities of sweetness, and we had Rupa Madhurya, we had Leela Madhurya, and we're still missing a couple. Venu Madhurya is another that the Lord plays a flute. Very playful. Gopinath, he's glorified in a pranam mantra. What is that pranam mantra for Gopinath?
Shriman Rasa.
Very good, yeah. Shriman Rasa Rasarambi Vamsi Bata Tata Shita Karsham Venur Svanar Gopir Gopinatha Shri Suna. That the Lord of Rasa, the Lord of emotional exchange, Rasarambi Vamsivata, he's standing by Vamsivat. Vamsivat is the it is a place on the bank of the Yamuna River. You can still see that place today. And what is he doing? Karshan Beinur. Karshan means to pull, to draw, to attract. It's the same root as kshri. We have that kshri go rakshavani jam by shakaramaswa bhavajam. The Gita tells us that the qualities and activities of the Vaishya are kshri, plowing, agriculture. Go raksha, protecting cows. And so that the plow is pulled by the bull. That is kshri. So we also Krishna. Krishna attracts. Krishna pulls us. He pulls our minds. He pulls our attention. He attracts. So in the same way, Karshan Venor, he's attracting, he's drawing, he's pulling the minds, not just the minds, the very lives of the gopis. Karshan Venor, Swanar Gopir, all the gopis are pulled to that place. Gopinatha Shriye Suna, I offer my pranam to that Gopinath. So Krishna's flute playing, it is most pleasing, it is most attractive. There's a whole chapter of the Bhagavad Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, devoted to glorification of Krishna's playing his flute. And when he plays his flute, all of Vrindavan becomes enlivened You when a river stops flowing, she's ecstatic. Her current stops, and she sends forth lotus flowers to offer some dakshina. When somebody does something very nice, there are busters on the street, yeah? They play something very nice, people want to give some money. So Yamuna River, she's here in Krishna's playing his flute, it's so nice. She wants to give lotus flowers. And the clouds, even the clouds, they're listening to that sound and they are very enchanted. But they are concerned. Krishna's walking through Vrindavan in the sun is very hot, the midday sun. And Krishna will be discomforted by that. So they make an umbrella. And wherever Krishna walks, the clouds are making an umbrella to protect him overhead. And that's how they're showing their appreciation for Krishna's flute playing. Bhagavatam describes how the peacocks, they hear Krishna's flute song and they are so jubilant on hearing that sound that they dance. So Krishna plays, peacocks, they dance with their beautiful feathers on display. And seeing their dancing, Krishna becomes more enlightened, so he plays more intricate and beautiful ragas. And the peacocks become more inspired, so they dance more complicated and beautiful dances, and they make the sound with their feathers. And Krishna plays more beautifully, the peacocks dance more beautifully. And at some point the peacocks, they're offering dakshina with their dance, but it's not enough. So they release some of their peacock feathers as their dakshina. They're giving their peacock feathers to Krishna. And Krishna takes those feathers and puts them in his hair. So now you know why Krishna is wearing a peacock feather in his hair. He's showing his appreciation for the dancing of the peacocks. So there's a little competition. Krishna plays, they dance. That's their dakshina. But Krishna's feeling that their dance is something that he has to pay dakshina for. So he plays more beautifully. And then they dance, and then they want to trump. They want to trump Krishna's reciprocation. Okay, we'll do something better. We will give our peacock feathers. And then Krishna, he accepts that defeat. His submission, takes those feathers and keeps them in his hair. But then that's another trump on the peacocks. So that's Vrindavan. There are other stories of how Krishna comes to wear a peacock feather, but that is the story from Bhagavad Purana, from Srimad Bhagavatam. Venu Madhurya. The gopis, they feel that this Venu is an enemy. Not an enemy, but more, it is a weapon that is used to subjugate them. Because Krishna plays the flute so beautifully that they are completely under his control. They are completely under his influence. Like a snake charmer with their shanai. And the snake dances and becomes almost like mesmerized by the shanai playing of the of their captor. Yeah. So Krishna, he plays his flute and everyone in Vrindavan dances according to his tune. As if enchanted by that song, by the flute sound. There is a description. I believe in Chaitanya Charitamrita. If not, it's in Pajavali. Where Radharani, she's confessing. Confessing to some of her girlfriends. She says to them, I don't know what I should do. Because I'm a very bad girl. I'm what could it be? What are you talking about? The girls are very concerned. She says, I don't know, maybe I should just end my life. So what's going on? What's the matter? Radha says, I'm ashamed to say it, but I'm in love with three different boys. So the girls are curious. Okay. How is it? Who are they? Let us know. So Radha, she says here, there are three boys, and my heart is drawn by each of them, and I'm very ashamed of this. I don't know what to do about it. She says there is this... she says there is this picture that Vishakha drew of the son of Nanda Maharaj. This painting of this beautiful cowherd boy with blackish blue complexion, skin, and yellow garments and a peacock feather in his hair. And ever since I saw that painting by Vishakha, my mind has been agitated. My mind has been disturbed. So that's one boy. Okay, who are the others? Krishna, we are not Nanda Maharaj Sanki, we are not surprised. He's a very, he's the most wonderful boy in Raj. Who are the other two? There's this one boy who plays a flute. Each morning when the boys go out to herd the cows, and each evening when they return to the village, we hear this flute song. And when I hear that sound, my heart is just taken from my chest and it runs to that boy who's playing the flute. Okay, number two. So who's number three? And Radha says, there's this boy people talk about, his name is Krishna. Ever since I heard that name, Krishna, my heart has just been disturbed, and it's just always, that name Krishna is always on my mind. And the girls say, Radha, don't worry. You have nothing to be ashamed of. You have no cause for concern. Those three people you described, they are all the same. They are the same person. That is Krishna. Where was I? Where did I start that from? Venu Madhurya, Krishna's flute player. So one of those boys was this flute player. So the girls, the gopis, they consider this flute as an enemy because it controls them and manipulates them. And so they are often concerned with how to steal that flute and to make different plans to deprive Krishna of that flute so that they can be freed of his power, freed of his influence. And of course, every time they try to steal or successfully steal Krishna's flute, then it increases all the beautiful and wonderful pastimes in Sri Vrindavan. It's another opportunity for Krishna and Radha and the others who are involved in their pastimes to come together and increase the unending, incessant flow of Krishna Lila. And finally, one other quality of sweetness. We said Rupa Madhurya.
The peacock feather.
I beg your pardon?
Is it the peacock feather?
Yeah. The peacock feather?
Devotees.
He is Prema Madhurya. He's always surrounded by Premi Bhaktas. Surrounded by devotees who are not there to pray for something, whether it is material opulence or whether it is liberation. Surrounded by devotees who just want to love him. They are just there to love, to serve, to please. And we have such wonderful pastimes as that of Sudama Vipra. Sudama Vipra, he was very poor. And his wife said, you go and see Krishna, you ask him for something, he is now a great king. Your school friends, you are a poor Brahmana, he is the most wealthy Yadava prince. You go and ask him for something. Sudama didn't feel comfortable asking Krishna for anything. But he was very excited about the opportunity to see Krishna. So, oh yes, I will go. I will go and see him. And he was joyfully, he left his village, and before leaving he asked his wife, do we have any gift? Is there anything we have that we can give him? There's nothing there in the house. They were very, very poor. So he went and asked some neighbors for some bakshish, for some alms. And he got a handful of chip rice. So he tied that into his chadar in a little bundle and went to Varka to see Krishna. And when he saw Krishna, Krishna was so full of love and affection. He embraced him. He took him into his palace. Not just into his palace, he took him into his bedroom and sat Krishna on Rukmini's own bed. And then Krishna asked the serving attendants to bring some bowl, some water, and he very affectionately washed Sudama Vipra's feet. Dried Sudama Vipra's feet, kept sandalwood pulp on Sudama's forehead. He served him very, very affectionately. Rukmini was fanning Sudama with a chamra, that is the chief queen of Varka. Maharani, not just Rani, but Maharani. She's fanning Sudama Vipra. People are whispering, who's that? Has to be someone very special. Maybe some Raj Guru from somewhere. Generally we show affection to people, or someone shows affection to us, we might even be a little suspicious. What do they want? Why are they doing this? What do they want from me? What could Sudama give Krishna? He had nothing. Krishna gave him a place to lie down, to take rest, invited him for dinner. Krishna gave him so much love and affection. Because Sudama was Krishna's very dear friend, and Sudama left without asking for a single thing. He was just happy to have been with Krishna, with his old school buddy. But when he returned home, he found that his home was no longer recognizable. Did I take a wrong turn? Where am I? Saw this big, beautiful mansion, palace. And he's looking around, well, what is this? Then he saw his wife walking out of that palace, dressed as a queen. Oh, I forgot the most important part of the story. When Krishna was there in Varka, when Sudama was there in Varka with Krishna, Krishna said, did you bring any gift for me? You've come from your home, you've come from so far. Did you bring any gift? And Sudama said, no, didn't bring anything, I'm sorry. He was feeling very ashamed about it, ashamed of this little chip rice, chira. He was feeling very ashamed of this chira that he had tied in his chadar, so he said, no, I didn't bring anything. Nothing. Krishna, like, nothing? Your wife didn't give you anything to give me? Like, just something? I don't have anything. I'm really sorry. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. And then Krishna saw the bundle. Ah, you are hiding something from me. You're very tricky, Sudama. What are you hiding here? Krishna untied the bundle. Chira! Chip rice! You are hiding this chip rice from me. And he took that little of that chira, threw it into his mouth, and he said it tasted like nectar. Complete nectar. And he was going to take some more, but then he's like, no. You're not having any more of that. And she said, that one morsel of chip rice that you have already taken has pleased you so much that I, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, am forever in the debt of Sudama. I am forever in his debt. I will never be able to repay Sudama for the pleasure, for the happiness he's given you. If you take another morsel, then how much more indebted will I be? So what do we learn here? So many others, they have given so much more, apparently, yeah? Lakhs or crores or thousands or hundred, whatever, we have given to Krishna. Is Lakshmi forever indebted to us for those little gifts we made? No. She's not, huh? Because we are cheap. We are cheap. We are easy to pay off. How cheap are you? What's your price? We're easy to pay off. A little prestige there, a little fame there, a little whatever. Well, oh. We're happy. But Sudama is not cheap. He's giving with love, only for the sake of love itself. And in fact, because of love, he even doesn't want to give. He's ashamed of that he doesn't have to give. We come with our $10, $100, whatever, we're very proud. I gave so much to Radha Gopinath. I did so much service for Radha Gopinath. Why nobody appreciates? Nobody recognizes all the service that I did. And it's like, yeah, people are forever indebted to us, no matter what. How much appreciation and respect we feel that. Sudama gives for love, and that is Krishna. He's surrounded by such devotees, Arjuna, Yudhisthira. That's in Dwarka. In Vrindavan, there is Jasodamayi, Nanda Maharaj. There are his friends, Subal, Sridhar, Madhu Mangal. There are gopis like Lalita and Vishakha and Sri Radha. They give everything to Krishna. So this verse says that by hearing such narrations of Krishna, our hearts get purified and we get free from the cycle of birth and death. This narration spoken by the great Saint Narada is full of the transcendental fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, this narration, when described, certainly sanctifies this material world. It purifies the heart of the living entity and helps him to attain his spiritual identity. One who relates this transcendental narration will be liberated from all material bondage and will no longer have to wander in this material world. So we've been speaking of Krishna, and these are all the wonderful benefits of speaking of Krishna. Just speaking of Krishna purifies the world, purifies us, awakens us to our own spiritual identity. So if there's anything that we should be doing shravana and kirtanam and remembrance of Krishna and service for Krishna. That's the real business of this life. And that's why Srimad Bhagavatam is the most wonderful Purana, because it tells us about Krishna. It speaks of Krishna. There is no greater, there is no more powerful antidote for the material condition than to hear of Krishna and to speak of Krishna, to glorify Krishna. And there is no more greater nutrition for developing our spiritual nature or our spiritual identity than hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. These two things are what we focus on. We destroy the material condition and we awaken the transcendental nature. Srimad Bhagavatam delivers those things. So we'll conclude here. Sorry, we won't take any questions because we've gone a little over time already. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai samavita bhakarin ki jai nitai gaur pevnanda.